Now, who's the star of today? It's Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. Prophet Yunus was someone with good akhlaq, good character, mashallah. He had a high sense of integrity. He was someone who was very respectful and someone who was humble and very caring and loving to the people. And I want you to remember this. Every prophet Allah has sent was well-mannered. This is very important. Why? Because it's not just about speech. It's not just about knowledge. It's about character. No prophet ever had a dark history, and then he was very evil, and he lied to people, and then he became a prophet. It wouldn't even make much sense, because people would say, your record is miserable. How can we elect you? How can we respect you? And so on. May Allah forgive us for our bad history. Say ameen. And may Allah make what's coming next better and better. Ya Rabbil Alameen. So we move forward, and then now we want to talk about where he lived. Now, what country is this? Iraq. May Allah bless our brothers and sisters in Iraq. Say ameen. So here, he used to live in the city of Nainawa. Muhafazat al-Nainawa, till this day it exists. And we know Nainawa based on the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the major city in the district of Nainawa is what? Al-Musul. Al-Musul is the second largest city in Iraq. So now we know about Yunus. We know where he lived. Let's talk about his people. Who are his people? His people is a number that is pretty large. مِئَةُ أَلْفٍ أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ. There were over 100,000 people in the city. How many believed in Allah? What do you guys take? Guess. How many? Absolutely zero. Zero. No one believed in La ilaha illallah, pretty much based on what we know. And in addition, they were idol worshippers. But Yunus alayhi salam was special. He worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make your words, La ilaha illallah, the day you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you return back to him. Yunus alayhi salam, eventually, he becomes what? Go ahead. Ahsant, mashallah alayk. Ahsant. Eventually, he becomes a prophet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he chooses, where does this go? Aywa, ahsant. Allah eventually chooses Yunus alayhi salam, and Allah says, وَإِنَّ يُونُسَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Allah has chosen Yunus alayhi salam. You have been hired. Hired by who? By Allah. To do what? To carry on the mission, to call people to the truth, to explain the reality of life. This life is what? Temporary. And we are here to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This life is a test. This life was not meant to be comfortable. And you also taught them what? That akhirah, is it temporary or infinite? It's infinite. And the akhirah, is it a test? Is there salah in Jannah? Is there any qiyam program? Is there siyam in Jannah? No. In akhirah, it's all nothing but reward. May Allah make you all people of Jannah. So he went ahead and he told the people. Let me ask you a question. If you have someone that walks to you, I'm saying in general, does not know anything about Islam, zero, and you have 5 minutes to speak to them about something in Islam, what would you speak about? So the brother said, hellfire. Okay. All right. Never give him a da'wah booth in your life, right? It might be depending on the brother. Actually, some people actually, depending on the person, he might actually go this way, right? But someone doesn't know anything, huh? What will he talk about? Go ahead. What is it? Raise your voice. Lala, the brother with worship none but Allah, ahsant. And the sister who answered before? The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last one. Try. What would you tell? Salah, ahsant, mashallah, tabarakallah. The brother said salah. Now, what all the prophets pretty much did is that they called the people and they told them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to worship Allah alone. That's number one. La ilaha illallah. Anytime you speak about Islam, you need to make sure that that person is accepting or is willing to go past La ilaha illallah by believing in it. So for example, one time there was a da'wah booth happening and a person comes and what's in their head is, how is it obligatory on women to wear hijab? Why women wear hijab? So the man is not a Muslim. So we can answer that question inshallah, but that person, if you have a few minutes, can we just start by saying, Allah, who is he? What has he done? Who has he sent? What's the point of life? Can we go with that? If he says yes, then I very much want to start with that. Because if we establish that, we can easily cover hijab. Agreed? Easily. Not even hard. It's easy. As long as you establish that Allah will never tell us to do something except that it is what? Good for you. And Allah will never tell you to stay away from something except that it is Bad for you. Excellent. So he says, Ya qawmi, u'budu Allah. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worship Allah. Nothing did Allah tell you to do except it's good for you. Ma lakum min ilahin ghayruh. No one is worthy for this forehead to be on the floor for except Allah. No one is worthy to give up your life for other than Allah. Inni akhafu alaykum adhaba yawmin azim. I'm so distressed that you guys may face the punishment if you don't believe. So here is what you mentioned about the punishment. It came. Hellfire has to be brought up sometimes. Allah's mercy has to be brought up sometimes. But make sure you lay what? What's the word I'm looking for? You lay what? The foundation, right? So when they said that, or when they heard that, what was their response? Like right now as I'm speaking, some may be looking at their watch. Okay, 7:33. So when is the next break, inshallah? Is there pizza today? Right? It's like, صح? But if I was amazing, sometimes even more and more and more and more amazing, you will pay more and more and more attention. Now, no one spoke better than prophets. No one had examples better than prophets. Agreed? In addition to that, they knew exactly the language of the people. Allah doesn't usually send a prophet from a different country to another country to preach. That's not common. Usually, min qawmihim, from their people. So why am I saying that? As eloquent as he was, how many believed in him now? The number was zero. Now it's what? How many? Another zero. No one. It was very, very difficult. People rejected him. People made fun of him. Never. And I want all those who want the best for others. Do you guys want the best for others? Clearly. So, oh, you who wants the best for others, you have to know that throughout the process, you'll be criticized. And you may be mocked. And you may be backbitten throughout the process. Allah says in the Quran, كَذَلِكَ كَذَلِكَ مَا أَتَى الَّذِينَ كَذَلِكَ مَا أَتَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنْ رَسُولٍ. Never did a prophet come. Never. Allah says, never did a prophet come. Except people said what? Sahir أو مجنون. He's possessed. مجنون. مضروب. Right? Something wrong with him. Or he's just insane. He doesn't know what he's talking about. This guy's old school. We're in 2022. Habibi, stop referencing the Quran and Hadith. Hadith is gone. Whatever the case is. May Allah protect us, Ya Rab. Does he stop? La. He continues. Allahumma barik. Then Yunus alayhi salam persisted. And they were shocked by that. And they continued to reject. And it went on and on and on for how long, roughly? About roughly 9 years, roughly. According to some narrations. Not authentic, but 9 years. 9 years! I did an event for 2 weeks. No one showed up. I said, I'm never joining the MSA again. I one time gave a Friday khutbah. People criticized, I said, I quit this. I said, an ayah, someone fixed me. I said, I'm not leading salah in my life again. La, la, it's 9 years. No way, impossible. Anna, my kid did 2-3 things, I disowned him. May Allah protect us, la, la, don't do that, right? So the point being is, about 9 years of calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's not giving up at all. Everything, he spoke to the rich, he spoke to the poor, he spoke to the old, he spoke to the young, he spoke to the man, he spoke to the woman. No one is listening. But then what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends what? A warning. Final warning. What is that? I have to explain something. You guys ready, inshallah? MashaAllah, I love you. Okay, excellent. Okay, I have to now watch my questions. Okay. So the final warning Allah revealed to Yunus alayhi salam, that you pretty much have done the mission. There's still a little bit more. I'm going to give them 3 days. ثلاثة أيام. If they do not believe in the next 3 days, how many hours? 72. 72 hours. They will all be destroyed and doomed. So now day one. He goes, talks to his people, all hands on deck. Ummati, ya qawmi, my people, this is it. 3 days, that's all what you have. Please listen, please, please. Whatever, we're not listening. Why wait 3 days? Why not now? There's 3 days now. There's aqab and there's punishment. Show us now. يستعجلون. They're hasty to see the punishment. Day two comes and he's trying his best. Ya Allah, help me, Ya Allah. And he's calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you think they listen day two? No, they don't. Day three comes. 1 day to go. The clouds started to change. Not the normal scene. It's like the event, the punishment is about to happen. Al-iqab sawfa yabda. Yunus alayhi salam tries his best. Please listen, look at this. Abadan, no one is listening. And right before the 72 hours end, but right before the third day ended, what happened? وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا. Allah said, Prophet Yunus alayhi salam stormed off from his city. He was so angry, so frustrated. He's angry for what? Angry because of what? He's disappointed. Like, how did you guys not believe? How can he treat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala مُغَاضِبًا? He's angry. He's furious. How dare you? I spoke to you quietly. I spoke to you fast. I spoke to you with examples. I spoke to you through stories. I told you, do you know Nuh? Do you know Ad? Do you know Thamud? Do you not remember? Have you not heard your parents tell you? Nothing worked with you. So he's so upset and angry, and he just walks away, and he's so upset. When he's walking away, you know what Allah says? فَظَنَّ أَلَّن نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. Yunus alayhi salam thought that he will not be held accountable for what he did. It's just a few minutes, just a few seconds that I left before the due date. You may say, okay, brother, one second. Sorry, I'm not sure if you mentioned it, brother, but it's only common sense that he has to walk away. Because if he stayed, what happens? He'll probably die. Good reflection. But that's not the case. With prophets, they're not allowed to leave until there's a clear command. Now it's time for you to leave. Did you see that? So they're not allowed to leave the assignment, no matter like, oh, I want to get punched, should I leave? Until Allah tells you, until Allah, okay, now go. And Allah never missed. So for example, tell me someone that you know that had to wait for that command for something to take place. Take a shot at it. Nuh alayhi salam. What was the sign? ما هي العلامة? Nuh, now it's time to go. What was the sign? Huh? Water coming out of the oven. Thara tanur. لما الماء يخرج من التنور الفرن. اطلع يا نوح. Go Nuh right away. You and the believers go to the ark. You see that? Don't go now until the water comes. What else? Lut alayhi salam. You know how bad it was for Lut? They tried to break into his house because he had some guests, good-looking men. It's authentic from the Quran. They tried to break in. So then the angels that were in the house, they were in the shape of men. They threw sand at those corrupted people, immoral. So they became blind. So that's how bad it was. Lut's life was on the line. But the angels told Lut, wait until night. Then in the morning, so in the night you go, in the morning we punish them. Alaysa subhu biqareeb. Isn't the morning very close? So in this story, what happened? Allah did not tell Yunus alayhi salam to go. But brother, just a few minutes. The rules are the rules. May Allah grant us all the highest level in Jannah and allow us to see Yunus alayhi salam in it. When he left, where did he go? So he left, he's in Nainawa, Muhafazat ish, Muhafazat Nainawa and Al-Musul today, right? Where did he go? Where is he gonna move? He's just walking and walking and walking. He wants to leave the entire area because the punishment is coming, al-Adab. So when the Adab is coming, I wanna go as far as I can. So he's literally trying to go what? Overseas. So he goes, and now he sees a boat. Allah says, إِذْ أَبْقَى أَبْقَى يعني ترك. He left, and he was angry, and he turned his back. إِلَى الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ. He went to the ship, but what does mashhoon mean? فُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ, what is it? Full, that's excellent. You know, الشاحن, you charge your phone, right? So it was filled with cargo, filled with containers, and filled with people. So that was a massive, massive, perhaps, boat with a lot of people. It can be a small boat with a lot of people. So when this was happening, and he went into that boat, and obviously maybe thinking of what's happening to them, like, man, they're probably destroyed by now, right? It's probably, man, it was just like a couple hours away. They must be like in torture right now, probably all dead now. So while the clouds are very rough, apparently, on his people, similar clouds, or maybe same ones, they come towards the ship. Huh? What do you mean? So the severe winds, severe weather starts to come towards the ship. Waves are getting stronger. Whoa. We know when they go to the wave and the thing about to fall. Oh my goodness. Very windy. People are yelling. Kids are crying. What's going on? Yunus alayhi salam is in panic mode. Subhanallah, what's happening? Then they started to throw the cargo away. Any luggage, just throw it, throw it, just throw it. Because it was so heavy. The ship was so heavy. And if water comes in, what happens to the boat? It sinks. They tried to empty as many luggages as they can. Cargo, whatever, food, that's about us now. And still it's not working. Still not working. So he said, guys, for us to survive, we have to forsake some people. We have to let go of some human beings and throw them into the water. So what happened? Fasaham, fasaham. What does the fasaham mean? They drew lots. They got each one's name through an arrow. So there's an arrow, sahem, alil ism, or someone knows that arrow belongs to who. And of the arrows that was there, all people, including who? Yunus alayhi salam. So they draw a lot. Let's see, let's see, let's see. Oh, and whose name comes? Fasaham, fakana min al-mutahani. Yunus alayhi salam. What are the chances? What's the probability? What's the probability this happened? It's almost zero. But his name came. Okay, one more time. We'll do it three times. Three times. We don't have time for this. One more time. One more time. One more time. Okay. Who is it? Yunus alayhi salam. What's the probability? Okay, last one. Last one. Last one. Oh. Yunus alayhi salam. فَخَلَعَ ثِيَابَهُ. So he took off his upper garment because with clothing becomes very heavy. And he stands on the verge of that ship. And eventually Yunus alayhi salam jumps right into the ocean in that dark night. As he was jumping in, the largest animal that ever existed on earth, till this day, by the way, the largest animal that ever existed on earth is in our time as well, which is what? The whale came, and it came and opened its mouth. فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتِ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. This whale was trained by Allah. When my prophet jumps into that water, I want you to come and swallow him. What's the chances of that happening? You see the chances? Okay, the chances of the weather being severe. The chances of his name coming up how many times? Three times. The chances that he jumps off and it happens to have a blue whale that jumps and opens its mouth like swish. Like, what is this? Unbelievable. What's the chances? So the whale swallows. وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. And Allah says, I'm not oppressing him. He's blameworthy for what he did. And you may say, like he went through all of this because he left a few minutes early? 9 years. All the entire time, just before the punishment, he just left. And now probably Allah knows what happened to his people. But there's zero chances it ever changed. And still he's blameworthy, yes. Because if Allah tells you to do something, you have to do your absolute best. His absolute best was to wait till the time comes for you to go. Subhanallah. You see that? May Allah help us and make us patient. And you know, the mu'akhadha ala miqdar al-da'i. So there's a lesson that we learn here that the rebuking, or the, I'm not saying punishment, but the rebuking and the anger towards the person sometimes is equivalent to the status of the person. You agree? Or is that not fair? Yes. This man is my superstar, mashallah, tabarakallah. So, if there's a kid that brings pizza to the venue, are they treated like the adult who brings pizza to the venue? Who deserves more anger towards? The kid, mashallah. No, it's actually the father. Right? It's the adult. But ahsan, may Allah bless him. The kid thinks it's me, right? May Allah grant you Jannah. Say, I mean, it's different. You're like, bro, come on. Allah barifik. You clearly have all the signs and stuff, right? Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, may Allah protect us. Adults catch, it's very important. He says, a shaykh al-kabir, the old, old, old man that goes into a haram relationship and commits the haram has severe punishment more than when a young man does it. You see that? Allah la yirhamu. Allah shows them no mercy. The adults, very old, a shaykh who eventually gets into haram relationship. May Allah protect us, ya Rab. So here, better example, Yunus alayhi salam, Allah's doing all this. Like, why? He's loved. I don't know what kind of love is that. Yes, yes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will end with this. He says, istaqri'u, and then one more point actually. Istaqri'u al-Qur'ana min arba. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you want to learn the Qur'an, there are four names. They are the superstars of Qur'an. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives you that reference letter, what does that mean? You're unbelievable, right? Four people. How many sahaba were there at one point? How many sahaba? What's the highest level of Sahaba number that you've heard? Sahaba is someone who met the Prophet and was a Muslim. In that farewell Hajj, there was over 100,000 Sahaba, 100,000 Sahaba, Hajjatul Wada. Out of the 100,000, the Prophet says four. You want to learn Quran from? Top four. Who's one of them? Mu'adh ibn Jabal. So Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, that means he's special. He's so educated. He's so learned. An authentic hadith, the Sahaba said, Mu'adh used to pray behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can he salli wara'ah? When he's done his salah, he goes to his community. Then ya'um al-nas fihim. So then he becomes the imam for his community. So apparently the iqamah, let's say at the Prophet was 7 p.m., their iqamah was like, say, 7:30. You see what I'm saying? As an example. So he prays behind the Prophet, then he goes, rushes to his masjid, and he leads as an imam. Mu'adh ibn Jabal. So one time he prayed, Allahu Akbar. While he was praying, finished al-Fatiha, he went to which surah next? What's the longest surah? Al-Baqarah. Alif, Lam, Mim, Thalika al-Kitabu la rayba fi. In the congregation, there's a man who's tired. Taban, Mujahid. Murhaq is like, man, he kept going. Mithaq bani Israel, he kept reading Baqarah, reading. It's the longest surah, about 50 pages. So the man in the behind is like, man, I can't do this. No. He's like waiting. Should I quit? Should I stop? I'm done. And he actually leaves. And he leaves on the side. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Qul huwallahu ahad. I don't know about Qul huwallahu ahad, but he finished the salah quickly. All right? Salaam alaikumullah. Salaam alaikumullah. And he left. And Mu'adh ibn Jabal is what? Baqarah going on, right? So eventually, when he left, everything's okay so far. People went to Mu'adh, the alim, the scholar, the imam. He says, Ya Mu'adh, there was a person, can you salli khalfana, prayed behind us, and he was exhausted, so he left the salah, prayed by himself, then walked away. What did Mu'adh say about that man who was lazy, apparently? What did Mu'adh say? Innahu munafiq. He's a hypocrite. Mu'adh said that, yes. There's an ayah in the Quran that Allah says, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَةِ. You guys, many of you know the ayah. Allah says there are people, when they go to the salah, they hate it. They don't want to go to it. They just do it for the people. They're so lazy towards it. It means nothing to them. يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسِ. They show off. Zero intention in their heart. So according to this ayah, since he's lazy, he just walked away, whatever. مَعْتِ مُنَافِقِ. When the guy who left heard this, he became what? Angry. And who did he go to? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't go to Mu'adh. He went to the Prophet. He said, Ya Rasulullah, nahnu qawmun na'amlu bi'aydina. We are people that work hard with our hands. We have animals. We dig in the ground. We have plants that we do. All that stuff. Mu'adh comes, prays behind you. Then he comes to my masjid, and he's like, Allahu Akbar. He reads al-Baqarah. Ya Rasulullah, Isha, Baqarah, Ya Rasulullah. So I could not handle it, Ya Rasulullah. I couldn't. I have to go to sleep. So I left the salah. I prayed by myself, and then walked away. Guess what, Ya Rasulullah? Mu'adh heard about me, then he said he's a munafiq. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Bring me Mu'adh. Bring me Mu'adh now. He didn't tell the guy, you're lucky your imam is Mu'adh ibn Jabal. You know how many communities in the world? He could have went to Dallas. I'm just kidding, right? Right? But he's still here. Sah? So Mu'adh ibn Jabal stayed in, subhanAllah. He didn't say that. He said, where's Mu'adh? So Mu'adh comes. Then what does the Prophet say? Afattanun anta ya Mu'adh. You're trying to cause problems in the community, Ya Mu'adh. Second time. Afattanun anta ya Mu'adh. You're causing issues with the jali, with your people. Afattanun anta ya Mu'adh. You're causing issues, Ya Mu'adh. What's the matter with you? Three times. He says, next time, Ya Mu'adh, and any imam leads the people in salah, iqra'u, read surahs such as Sabbih isma rabbikal a'la. He says, when you lead the people, read وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَىٰ. Half page, that's what you read. Then he says, وَرَاءَكْ الْمُسَافِرِ وَالْمَرِيضِ وَالشَّيْخِ الْكَبِيرِ. He says, behind the imams, there are people who are old, have problems. They cannot sit for too long. They cannot stand for too long. Behind you are travelers. They have things to do. And behind you, maybe are people who are sick and tired. Please be conscious of the people around you. Very firm, huh? We know the Prophet to be gentle, alayhi salatu wasalam, but Mu'adh is at a different level. The Prophet did that because he loves Mu'adh. He one time grabbed Mu'adh's hand. He says two times, Mu'adh, wallahi, I love you. Wallahi, inni la uhibbuk ya Mu'adh. Mu'adh, wallahi, I love you. Mu'adh said, I'll take a bullet for you. بأبي أنت وأمي يا رسول الله. I'll give up the world for you. Then he says, يا معاذ أوصيك, I want to give you advice. To say at the end of every salah, اللهم أعني على ذكرك. Oh Allah, help me remember you. وشكرك, and help me be grateful to you. وحسن عبادتك, and to help me worship you correctly. This is an example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said, don't you ever say, Muhammad, don't you ever say, I am better than Yunus ibn Matta. What happened to Yunus in the whale? How long did he stay? When he was there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the word, pay attention, وَهُوَ مَكْذُومٌ. He was in so much distress. Some narrations say he thought he died. So he start moving his legs, start moving his hands, and he's still alive in the stomach of the whale. Just an FYI, the heart of a blue whale is approximately the size of a human being, the heart of the blue whale. If you get the whale, which is about, can reach up to 30 meters, it can cover an entire official basketball court. The entire court is covered with that whale. Allah commanded the whale, do not crush his bones. Do not do in a way where you digest him. Do not do any of that. Just protect him in your mouth. So Yunus alayhi salam was so stressed out, especially that it's what? What was it like inside? Do you think he can see his hand? No, it's so scary when it's dark. Sometimes you're better off having light just to know exactly what's happening. So there's more and more fear sometimes when the darkness. So Allah says, في الظلمات, in the darkness of what? The darkness of the night, the darkness of what? The stomach of the whale, and there's a third darkness. What is it? The ocean. So he was there and he was nervous. There's a lot that can be said. What did Yunus alayhi salam say? The very, very famous dua. He says, La ilaha illa ant. He called in the darkness, La ilaha illa ant. There's no deity worthy of worship but Allah. Subhanak, you're free from any mistakes. You're perfect. You are perfect. And obviously everything is yelling out that Allah is perfect. You're perfect how my name came up. You are perfect how a whale came and swallowed me. You're perfect how I'm still alive. You're just perfect. Subhanak. And I am not perfect. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. This dua Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said the sahaba. He said, do you want me to tell you a dua? If you ever say it in gham or karb, remember the beginning of the session? And for those who were at the beginning, we shared with you four emotions. What was the first one of the past? Huzun, excellent. What was the future? Ham. We covered those in the first dua. Now, gham or karb. In one hadith, the Prophet said the word karb, extreme distress live happening now as we speak. Or you have another issue happening live as we speak, then this is your dua. He says, never do you say this dua except that Allah will save you. هَذَا وَعَدْ حَقٍّ مِنَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Well, I said it before, Allah has helped you in ways you've never imagined. It could have been worse. It could have been directed to a different situation. It could have this, it could have that, but believe in Allah. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتُ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. If you do not mind, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I want to dissect this dua and go part by part. Can we do that, inshallah? Makes sense, right? It's such an important dua. Even Uthman ibn Affan, this is authentic hadith. Uthman ibn Affan, one time, he was sitting in the masjid. And who walks in front of him? Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas walking. So they have eye contact. So Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas looking at Uthman. Then he says, Assalamu alaikum. What is Uthman saying? Nothing. Wow, nothing. Salaamu alaykum. And Uthman bin Affan, the one who married the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter, Uthman bin Affan, who was promised Jannah, he's not responding, wa alaykum as-salam. So Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas was like, what is that? And he sees him, like you're looking right at him. So he goes to who, Sa'd? He goes to Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu anhu, he was the Khalifa at that time. He says, ma hadatha fil Islam? Fi shi tghayyar fi fatwa, like there's a new fatwa or something? Is there something in Islam that changed that I don't know about? And this is Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, a grand Sahabi. So Umar ibn Khattab says, no, what are you talking about? He says, I walked in front of Uthman. I looked him in the eye. Salamu alaykum. He did not even reply. Did not even move his lips. So what happened? The Sahaba addressed things on the spot in a way. They resolve matter. Don't keep it in the heart. It's a whole other topic. I don't want to go into tangent. So he said, bring Uthman. Uthman Affan came. Yes, ya Amir al-Mu'min, or leader of the believers. Is it true that Sa'd came, said salam to you, and you didn't reply back? He's like, no. Oof. Sa'd's like, come on, man. Like, you didn't say salam, and now you're lying. So Uthman ibn Affan says, wallahi, I didn't see Sa'd. Brother, this is authentic, authentic. So Sa'd says, wallahi, I saw him. And he looked me right in the eye. So Uthman said, no. Then Uthman was like, oh my God, yes, 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 I'm so sorry. What do you mean? What were you? He's like, okay, let me explain, guys. Yes, yes, now I'm recalling. He did actually walk in front of me. But what's going on? He said, I was sitting, and there's a dua. Anytime I try to remember it and appreciate it and say it, I'm so into it that I don't see anything in front of me. Sa'd says, I know which one you're talking about. Allahu Akbar. He's like, I know which dua is that. Then Sa'd says, it's one of the first du'as ever made that was so powerful that changed things. Sa'd said, I know the dua is the following. We were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet was going to tell us a dua. While he was about to tell us, someone came, interrupted the halaqa, the lecture. The Prophet did not tell us. Perhaps he forgot. As the Prophet was walking away, Sa'd said, I remember. I want to know what's a dua. So he started making noise. So the Prophet looks back. It's like, you're right? Yes, yes, Sa'd. Ya Rasulullah, remember you told us he will tell us a dua. He's like, yes. The dua, the powerful dua is La ilaha illa an subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. So let's give it some moments. Three parts. La ilaha illa ant, or La ilaha illa Allah. This is the best statement of all time. And this is not my words, it's the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, afdalu dhikri, the best thing that can ever come from this mouth is La ilaha illallah. It's so powerful. So powerful. If you say it before you die, you're guaranteed Jannah. There's something so interesting about saying it. Just try to say it now. Do you guys notice anything? What do you guys notice? You don't use your lips. It's so easy. You can even say it when you're like, La ilaha illallah. You don't even have to move lips. You know, it's not difficult. It's so easy. But may Allah make it easy for us to say it before we meet Him. Ya Rabbal Alameen. La ilaha illallah. Nothing can match it. One time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, يأتي الرجل على رؤوس الخلائق. On the day of judgment, a man comes. And that man, and every man and woman, they come, they have books of deeds, right? Records. So this angel here, what's his name? What's the angel's name here? The one that writes the good stuff. Huh? Raqib. And this angel here that writes the bad stuff, he's a good guy, by the way, okay? But he just happens to write the bad stuff, all right? Atid. So whatever you, so inshallah, as you're sitting, Raqib is busy writing, right? Keep writing, Allah barik feek. Keep writing, keep going, bismillah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah, Allah barik feek. All right? Sweet, sweet. Give me a chance, all right? Don't go act crazy like that, I'm just an example. Anyhow, so then writing, right? This guy comes yawm al-qiyamah, now the books are presented, You know how many books he has of evil? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, 99 sijilla, 99 books. I really hope it's a 5-page book. No, kullu sijillin ala maddi al-basar. Every book is as far as the eye can see. I'm not going to go that far, just an example. Imagine there's a book between me and this wall. Just one book. 99 of those. What kind of life did this, what did this guy do in his life? How many times did he backbite? How many times did he curse? How many alcoholic drinks he drank, and what has he done to his parents, and how many times did he cheat at work, and how many times did he plagiarize his projects, and how many times? 99. So Allah says, Alaka udhr, Alaka hasana. Allah says, do you have anything on the good deeds that can make up for this? Do you have any excuse for what's this? Adhalamataka katabati. Did the angels make up stuff? So the man looks, he's like, La ya Rab. It's true, I did that when I was in high school. I did. So that Allah says, you have any good deeds? There's not a single book. The guy doesn't have a book. So he says, La ya Allah, I have nothing. So if there's a scale, so the bad deeds are here. What's going to be put here? The man says, I don't have anything, like not even a book. So Allah says, you do have. Not a book. What do you have? Bitaqa, kert, a card. Like imagine like a sheet of paper. Not even a book, just a sheet of paper, half a page. So the man says, Ya Allah, what will the half page do to 99 books as far as the eye can see? He says, La yudlamu indi ahad al-yawm. No one is oppressed today in my presence. Whatever good that you do, you see the effects. Whatever bad that you do, you see the effects. And the card comes. What was the deed in that card? La ilaha illallah. Ahsanti, Umar. One time, this man said with his full heart, from the bottom of his heart, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. And then they put the 99 documentations of messed up records, bam, to that scale. Heavy. And they got the card. La ilaha illallah. Placed on the other hand of the scale. It did not outweigh. فَطَاشَتْ السِّجِلَّاتِ When they put the card, bam! Every 99 document ran away. As shocked as you were with my sound, it will be even more shocking that day. What? All 99 flew off. That's how heavy. وَلَا يَثْقُلْ مَعْ كَلَامِ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَثْقُلْ مَعْ كَلَامِ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ شَيْئًا Nothing is as heavy as لا إله إلا الله. May Allah fill our hearts with it, يا رب العالمين. May Allah fill our hearts with it. لا إله إلا الله. So you see how powerful? What else? La ilaha illallah. Yunus alayhi salam knows. I'm in the darkness of all of this. I'm in distress. No one can help me except Allah. So I'm going to say La ilaha illallah. Then he says Subhanak. What does Subhan means? Very important. What does Sabah, Yasbah mean? Swim, right? You're not diving, you're swimming. When you're swimming, you're above the water. You're above everything that is under. So you're above. So Subhanak, meaning Allah, you're above anything in terms of negative attributes. You're free. You're away from everything negative. That's why in the Quran, pay attention, Allah says Subhanah when people say bad things about Him or when they say good things. In the Quran, when Allah says the word Subhanah, is it connected to something that is negative said about Allah or something positive said about Allah? Negative. Negative. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا And they said, Allah has a son. Allah says what after that? Subhanah. No, I'm free from that. So then Yunus says, Subhanak, you're free from any mistakes. The people should blame me, not blame you. You're free, you're perfect. Then the last part, إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ Ya Allah, I wronged myself. Ya Allah, I'm the one who did a mistake. And he apologizes to Allah. Does that dua stop here, or there's more? Stops here. He did not say, Ya Allah, I'm sorry, but you know I worked really hard, right? I'm just saying, I'm sorry, but I worked really hard. No, there's no need for that. Because the moment you start giving excuses, the moment your apology gets weaker. You see that? Yeah, I know I messed up with this, but you know what I did yesterday? Just say, I'm sorry. Just mean what you say it. La ilaha illa subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. I was wrong, Ya Allah, I was wrong. And no one loves apology. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلَا أَحَدْ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ الْعُذُرُ مِنَ اللَّهِ No one loves, I'm sorry, forgive me, more than Allah. Allah loves it. Yeah, really? Allah loves it. So what does it mean? Never give up and stop. Never stop asking Allah to forgive you. It's just so scary if you postpone and you postpone and you postpone, and then you may never be able to say, I'm sorry. Correct? Isn't that right? How many times people pass away, يَمُوتُ فِي الْعَائِلَةِ And like, I wish I spoke to them. I wish I can tell them, I'm sorry, it's too late. So right now, إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ I'm wrong, Ya Allah. I'm wrong, Ya Allah. I'm wrong, Ya Allah. Unfortunately, let me be very honest with you, many of the songs today, media today, tries to take off that regret aspect in us. Agreed? So some regret, you should not have regrets over things that you've done, true, but there's some things you have to regret. And regret is the main pillar of repentance. You want Allah to accept your apology, you got to regret. So then you have, even you have songs that says, you know, no regrets, never look back, whatever the case may be, and they're top hits. Subhanallah. But in Islam, it's all about regret. So you have to be careful about the whole regret situation. May Allah forgive us. And subhanallah, when I was in high school, that was many, many, many years ago, there was a story of a brother, and unfortunately, he was a Muslim. So this brother comes from a very good family. Forget the details, just think of it as in the general story. So this man, his parents, very well behaved, well known in the community, and overall the brother was good. But when his parents traveled, he was influenced by a couple of guys. So he said, let's come and go outside the city, we gather. And honestly, there'll be some girls there too. We're gonna party, we're gonna do some, have fun and everything. You'll always be in this house, all religious and stuff like that. Just come along. So this man, subhanAllah, he goes, and then he gets his car. He was one of the younger ones that had his own keys. And when they went there, one of the brothers, or one of the guys, I'm not sure all of them were Muslim, but anyhow, he said, oh my God, I forgot to get the beer. the alcohol. Subhanallah, anyhow, I forgot. So the brother, subhanallah, he had the car. So he said, you know, I got it, I'll go get it. Ya Allah, why, ya akhi, why? We're a volunteer now. So he goes, gets his car, and goes to the nearest beer store, and they know in that area how far is the store. So this man took way too long to come back, way too long. So they start getting worried, like, where did this guy go? Where did this guy go? Eventually, one of them also had a car. He said, let's go, what is this guy? He got lost, did he stop? They got into the car, and they started driving towards the closest beer store to see more concern about the guy. And when they arrived, they saw he got in a car accident. And fire was coming out of the car. And they came, and it was right when the accident happened. And he was still there. What's going on? So then, apparently he was lost finding the store. Allahu ta'ala alam. But he was right next to it. And when they saw him, and he was dying right in front of their eyes. Dying right in front of their eyes. He was saying something like, I can't see him. I can't see him. I can't meet him. I can't meet him. They're like, what are you talking about? So the guy was dying. He's like, he can't meet him. I can't meet him. Who are you talking about? He said, Allah. I can't meet him. Allah, I can't meet him. May Allah forgive him for that thought of his, Ya Rab. In terms of his fear of Allah, khawfu min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I can't meet him. They took him to the hospital and he died. He passed away. So you never know who thought this will happen. You think his parents came back and imagine this will happen to their son? May Allah have rahmah upon him. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. So don't delay. Do not push things forward. May Allah forgive us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. When he made this dua, it was narrated, not authentic hadith, but in tafsir, that the angel said, Ya Allah, we hear a very familiar voice, sawtun ma'roof. This voice is very familiar. The angels say that. Min makarin gharib. But it's a very unfamiliar what? Location. So the Allah says, atadruna mahu, do you know who is it? They said, we don't know. He says, Allah, hada abdi Yunus. It's my servant Yunus. So the angel said, Yunus? The one until this day, good deeds are raising to us. Till this day, we see his du'as that he made throughout his life. Ya Allah, would you forgive him, Ya Allah? Then Allah says, Bala. Allahu Akbar. Bala. So Allah is going to save Yunus alayhi salam. And with the help of Allah, Yunus is saved. But Allah says something so powerful. One of the main pillars of the story is this. Why did Allah save Yunus? Yes, Allah is Rahim. But there's something that Yunus did. Allah says, if it wasn't that he did this, لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Allah says, if he did not do this action, which I will share with you, he would have remained in the stomach of the whale till the day of resurrection. What do you mean? He's going to live? He made dua. Ahsant. So what happened, meaning he would die in the whale and will be resurrected يوم القيامة from this whale's stomach. And everybody was resurrected based on where they passed away. Then we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What in the world did he do? Yes, dua is correct. But there's something very specific. Go ahead, Khalid. What is it? Dhikr of Allah. Any specific dhikr? The musabbihin. Excellent. Allah says, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Allah says if it wasn't that he was continuously every day throughout his life used to do dhikr of Allah, subhanallah, 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 that was one of the main highlights, he would have never been saved. And there's two main things about this point, two main things. Number one is the power of dhikr, as Khalid has mentioned, dhikr. How often do you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How often? How is your dhikr process? I shared with a group of people before how I was disappointed in myself. I was actually disappointed in myself. Back before COVID, when we used to go to the actual company, right? May Allah make it easy for all of us. And may Allah not make us return. For those who want to say ameen, it's up to you, all right? Okay, is that whenever I used to put my food in that microwave, it was a habit. What would I do? Pick up that phone. In that minute and 15 seconds that I warm my food. And it was very disappointing, like, why do I have to do it every time? Why not that 1 minute? Say, subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. That's it. Like, what will it do? What will it do? What will it do? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَيَعْجَزُ أَحَدِكُمْ. Is it hard for you guys to seize amazing moment were a very high reward for a very easy action. If you do it, Allah will give you 1,000 hasana, 1,000 hasana. If you do it, Allah erases 1,000 bad deed. Sidi Rasulullah, what in the world is that deed that is easy to do, that is very rewarding? He says, whoever says Subhanallah, whoever says Subhanallah 100 times, مئة مرة, Allah will give them 1,000 good deeds and erase 1,000 bad deeds. You see how much we've missed out, or I've missed out? Say Subhanallah. Very powerful, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And it doesn't just save you in good deeds and bad deeds, even Yawm al-Qiyamah. Remember when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of judgment, where's the sun? Does it exist or is it gone? The sun exists, very much exists. How much? 1 mile above the heads. According to biology, we will burn. Ya akhi, move on in life. Allah will take care of you, right? But Allah will make it in a way that you start sweating, not burning. So the Prophet says, يَعْرَقِ الْإِنسَانِ عَلَى قَدْرِ ذُنُوبِهِ. You will start sweating based on how many sins that you've got. Some will sweat up to their ankle. There's four levels. Some will sweat to their knee. Some will sweat all the way to the belly button. And some will sweat to up to their nose. They will drown from their sweat. May Allah protect us. So what's the smart people? What will they want to do? I want to get some shade away from the sun. There's no trees. Where are we? تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ. Allah changes the whole earth. يوم القيامة, it's a different earth. No rocks, no trees. Nothing you can seek shade from except one place only. The throne of Allah, Arsh al-Rahman, is the only thing. يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّ. Okay, yalla, bismillah, let's go. لا يا حبيبي. It's a close. Not anybody just walks in under Allah's shade. Specific traits in the individual. The main trait to share with you for tonight is one of the last traits the Prophet mentions in the hadith. وَرَجُلٌ أَوْ إِمْرَى, a man or a woman. ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيَا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. A man or a woman who mentioned Allah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, a remembrance that moved you so much that you start to what? To cry. Just because of that one moment, behind closed doors or maybe people not noticing, that one moment you get Allah's shade. You see how powerful dhikr is? So don't say, just because of this he was saved. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. I told the group that I reviewed the notes with, I said, this is the first time I notice it. Allah said, if it wasn't that he did a lot of tasbih, dhikr, he would have stayed in the whale. This shook me so much, and it may shake you as well, inshallah, in a good way. Allah did not say, if it wasn't that you were a prophet. Allah did not say, it's because you lectured the people. Allah did not say, because you spoke to 100,000 people. Allah did not say it's because you helped the needy. Allah did not say it's because you gave in charity. Allah said because of dhikr. What is it? What are we trying to get to? How is our private lives? Your private life is what determines your value, not the public work. Public work is excellent, it's accessories, it's great. Sometimes you have to do certain public work, there's no doubt in that. It's far more effective. But by default, we have to be what? Sincere. By default, do things what? Privately. But if there is more benefit in going public, go with it. Agreed? What's something if you go public is more beneficial? What is it? Da'wah, calling people to Allah, yes, sometimes being in public. Go ahead. Salah, why you say public? I should pray at home. Salah and jama'ah. For example, if I do this now. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. For the sake of my niyyah wal ikhlas fil amal, ana lan uri wajhi. I will not show you who I am. Ya Allah, please, brothers and sisters, trust me. I'm not going to tell you who I am. It will never be on the flyer. La ya jama'ah, that will not work, right? I have to go public, right? This is more effective, right? But by default, your ibadah, ud'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufya. Allah says, your default settings, I do things privately unless there's more benefit to go public. I donate private unless there's more benefit to go public. Allahu Akbar. So this is why he was his private life. May Allah make our private life beautiful. And remember Allah when things are easy, Allah will help you when things are tough, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Can I end with this one last hadith about this point? One last hadith, ready? This is an action item, all of us. If there's one thing to take from tonight's session, is this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من استطاع منكم, whoever is able, أن يكون له خبيء من عمل صالح فليفعل. Whoever is able to go do a good deed, like you're aiming, I want to do this good deed for it to be used for a rainy day. You know, we save money for a rainy day. Whoever aims to get a good deed and capable and massive one to store it as your 401k retirement plan in case you need it when, in the future, then go for it. Can we do that, inshallah? Can you make that niyyah? We have to all increase that balance that will never appear. That balance that will never show a number. That balance that shows circles. It's so private. No one knows except you and Allah. Can we do that, inshallah? Khabi'ah. Khabi'un min amalin salih. May Allah make it possible for all of us. Then, okay, Allah saved him, yes. The whale swam and swam. Allahu Akbar. Fastajabna lah. The whale swam all the way to the seashore. Fanabadhnahu bil'ara. Allah says, we have put him onto the open land. There's no trees, nothing, no people, no humans, no support. وَهُوَ السَّقِيمُ. While he was very drained. Yeah, drained. Why, how long was he in the whale for? Some say 3 days. Some say a year. Some say hours. Wallah, if it was for 1 minute, isn't that not enough of, you know, distress? So he left Saqim. Some say maybe the acid in the stomach whale got his skin. One of the mufassirin, the scholars say, he left the stomach just like how when the baby is just born. You know, all slimy, right? And the hair is all wet and all that stuff. May Allah bless all our children. Say ameen. May Allah bless every mother that delivered and have her see her child grow right before his eyes as a righteous child. Say ameen. And may Allah grant all of you righteous children. Ya Rabbal Alameen. So Yunus Aleyhisselam comes out of the whale exhausted, drained. Subhanallah. Not just that. You may say, okay, where's the food? This is something interesting. What in the world is this? Well, what do you guys say that is? Squash. Sah? Okay, what in the world does a squash have to do with tonight's session? You're hungry, brother. Ah, I see. Squash, pumpkin, Halloween. Astaghfirullah azim. Actually, when we reviewed the session, I was telling the team, like, should we say squash, pumpkin, because of the difference of opinion. So one sister, she was like nervous, like, I know, I just hope people don't think, like, basically, yani, it's a sunnah now to have pumpkins outside the house. And subhanAllah, it happened, the lecture happens to be in October. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Nothing is coincidence. Inna kulla shayin khalaqnahu biqadr. Everything is calculated. Okay, what in the world is the story, brother? Help us out. In the Quran, Allah says, وَأَنْبَتْنَا عَلَيْهِ شَجَرَةً مِّن يَقْطِينَ. Allah says right then and there, the one who made the whale swallow him and cast him away is the same God that made the squash tree or a pumpkin tree, because there's a difference of opinion, grow right in front of him. Nice, fresh fruit. Now we know that Allah would never tell us the type of tree unless there's benefit in it, 100%. Now, we know what tree Adam ate from, alayhi salam, right? What tree was it? Adam's what? Apple. Is it in the Quran? Is it in the Hadith? We have no idea. We just know they ate from the tree because there's no benefit in that. But Allah tells us squash or pumpkin. This is my suggestion to those in medical school. I have a nice thesis for you, a PhD ID. Idea is to use this in the Quran and tell me what in the world does pumpkin have to do with people that were in the water for a long time, right? And exhausted, and their skin and their eyes, because the narration, the tafsir says, his eyes were in pain, his skin and his body was in pain, and in distress, as we know. So I did a little bit of research. Can I do like a rookie research? Is that okay? So I went to Miskin WebMD. Many of you know that website, right? So I went to WebMD, and I just put the benefit of squash and the benefits of what? Pumpkin, just to see, and subhanAllah, they were very similar. So it's the same family. So let me share with you three top benefits. Ready? It's just so interesting. And when I tell you the benefits, who I want you to think of? Yunus, but be more specific. Yunus, alayhi salam, the man who was in the ocean for a long time, in the stomach of the whale, who came out, who was so exhausted. His skin, his eyes, all struggling, in distress. Top three. Number one, eating the pumpkin or squash reduces risk of depression. Subhanallah. It says several squash varieties are rich in vitamin B6. People with vitamin B6 deficiency may be at a higher risk of developing mental health concerns such as depression. Watch after this comment, pumpkin sales sell out in Dearborn, right? And who buys it? Muslims. How is that? How is that? How are Muslims? You got a fatwa? No, we didn't get no fatwa. All right, let's move on. Then the second thing, improved eye health. Subhanallah. Number three, enhanced skin health. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Ta'ala A'lam at exactly why Allah mentioned the type of tree. Now Yunus alayhi salam is now eating getting stronger, alhamdulillah, muscles are coming back, some flesh, because the narration says his skin was touching the bones, like you can see all the jawbone is so skinny. Subhanallah, drained, eating, becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. Then what happens next? What will Yunus alayhi salam go through next? Allah tells him, I want you to go and continue the mission. Continue the mission, bismillah, ikhlas, I learned my lesson. What's the lesson? I will go till my last breath. I will wait till your command. I will follow what you tell me to do, and I will never what? Lose my? All right, where am I going to go? Where am I going to go? وَأَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَى مِئَةِ أَلْفٍ أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ He was sent back to his people. Hold on. Now, we were told at the beginning of the first session that a punishment was coming a few minutes away or hours, and they're all going to get wiped out. No. What do you mean? Allah changed his mind? Nope. What happened? What happened? Allah says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, إن الذين حقت عليهم كلمة ربك لا يؤمنون. There are certain people who have been so arrogant, so stubborn, advised multiple times, and they chose to step away. Okay? Allah says those people who are so arrogant for the longest time, I will take them further away. These people, لا يؤمنون. There's nothing that will make them believe. Nothing. Allah says, even if they see, وَلَوْ جَاءَتْهُمْ كُلُّ آيَةٍ Even if they see every single sign in the world, they will never say, لا إله إلا الله. حَتَّى يَرَوُ الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ Unless they see the Allah's punishment. When they see Allah's punishment, oh, okay, I will now believe. But will that benefit them? No. You have an example. Who has an example? Fir'aun, excellent. May Allah bless you. Pharaoh. Pharaoh, what happened to him? Pharaoh was in the Egypt area, claiming to be God, أنا ربكم الأعلى, arrogant loser, you name it, one of the worst human beings that ever walked on earth. And then when Allah split the ocean, Musa passed through, Bani Israel passed through, and who's the loser that wanna pass through? Pharaoh and his junudo, soldiers. When Musa left and Bani Israel reached the other end, Allah allowed the mountains of water, not rocks, to collapse on Fir'aun. Then what happened at that point? Fir'aun says, Amen to, I believe in the Lord of the children of Israel in which they believe in. وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ Allah, takbir, Allahu Akbar, Fir'aun. Allah says, Al-an. That's in the Quran. Al-an. What does it mean? Now, وَقَدْ عَصَيْتْ And through your whole life, disobeying Allah, arrogant, killing babies, oppressing men and women, young and old, الآن وقد عصيت لا get out of here it will never count so in the case of Yunus Allah says فلولا كانت قرية آمنت فنفعها إيمانها no one believed and benefited because it was too late you know what he says Allah إلا قوم يونس the only human beings on earth that managed to believe on time and Allah accepts were the people of Yunus what are the chances of that happening Yani ya Yunus alayhi salam, all what you had to do was wait just a little bit more. And all 100,000 would believe. Not just that, Allah says, كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمْ عَذَابَ الْخِزِي فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَى حِينَ فَآمَنُوا, they all believed. And this is, some ulama, they say, this is the only nation in the history of humanity that they all believed in a prophet. Usually a majority believes to disbelieve or a family, the rich. But Qawm Yunus, all of them believed. So Allah says, I want you to go back to your people. Brothers and sisters, he goes back and he sees them worshiping Allah. The one who said, you're a loser. You're a magician. Sahir Majun, remember that? Now he's saying, oh, forgive me, Akhi Yunus. Welcome back. Hayyak Allah. You, the guy who mocked me, we're so sorry about what happened. And they all believe and they all listen. Brothers and sisters, we see this even in our lifetime. There's many things that happen. Can I give you a basketball example? Can I do that? It's okay. You guys remember 2013 when LeBron James, may Allah allow him to accept La ilaha illallah, right? Miami Heat against the San Antonio Spurs, game six, five points away, 5 points. Okay, 5 points, not too bad. How many minutes are left in the game? 28 seconds. 28 seconds left in the game. And the Miami Heat is losing. San Antonio is 5 points up. And the Ginobili had a free throw. What was the camera showing? Miss LeBron. Close. Who were they showing? I mean, I look like I have a gun, so forgive me, guys. All right. What was the camera showing? It's like a bazooka. No, huh? What was the camera showing? Huh? The camera was focusing on the fans. Okay. The fans were walking away. 28 seconds left. 5 points losing. This is the championship game, finals of the basketball game. And they start going out. Ginobili shoots that free throw. 5 points difference. Oh, my God. It's crazy. Jazallah khair. May Allah guide him to Jannah. Allen. MashaAllah tabarakat. Ray Allen. Jazallah khair. 3 points. Right? And then what happens? They tie. 95-95. In 28 seconds. Where's the camera? Where's the camera? Where? Which fans? Ali Barra. The outside ones. So they heard, yay. And this game was at Miami. So it's a home game for the Miami Heat. So the most of the fans. So they want to go back. But for those who go to the sports arenas and so on, in many times, what's the rule? You can never go back. So the guy, open the door. I got a ticket. Hey, loser, open the door. Your ticket. Your ticket will mean, I am VIP, front row, wala back row. Even if you're LeBron, you're not coming back. Khalas. So they went back, and how regretful were they? Sometimes don't rush. And what do we say sometimes? Do not celebrate too early. How many people with a football, right? Touchdown, the guy does this, and he just drops the ball right before the line. As Lions fans, we know that exactly how it feels. Anyhow, let's move on. Forgive us. Anyhow, all right? So the point being, all this happens. I said this example, then one sister, she said, your examples are very male-focused. I respect. She said that in our review session, and maybe she's here, may Allah forgive her. So she gave me another example. This example, according to her, I did not verify. I trust the sister. May Allah protect us, and I really trust you, okay? This is being recorded. There's a lot of people here. I didn't even verify. I should have verified. Bismillah. She said, in the 1940s, in the presidential elections, there were two people running against each other. Obviously, two, right? Two people running against each other. And one guy was winning the votes, clearly destroying his opponent. Destroying it. And then newspapers came saying the winner is so-and-so. I forgot the name. President won, okay? He's the president of the United States. And they printed the newspaper. But by the time they counted the last portion of the ballots, the votes, the other person won. Right? Sounds familiar? Yes, alhamdulillah. See, she didn't make it up, right? The other person has won. So when the other person won, he went, you know, they give the inauguration speech. What was he holding? The newspaper. He's like, I'm the winner. Not basically whatever is said here. So subhanAllah, sometimes those last moments that matter, may Allah forgive us all, ya Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, Yunus is elevated. فَاجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَجَعَلَهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ Yunus bounced back better and better than ever before. Not just that. Allah says, فَاجْتَبَاهُ Allah says, أُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهُ Allah guided Yunus. So walk and look up to Yunus alayhi salam, how he repented. And I want to share with you, brothers and sisters, the last verse from Yunus alayhi salam, and then one hadith, and we're done, inshallah. 9:30 is our deadline. Sahih? What's the last ayah in Surah Yunus? Last ayah. I got you. See, I take your comments seriously, by the way. I take your comments as much as I can. Because one brother said, actually, I think it was sister, she said, if you can put the verses on the slides. You guys like that? Is it good? Yeah. So she got all the hasanat? Allahu Akbar. All right. And then another brother told me, he said, if you can focus a lot more on what the Quran exactly says. So we did that in this session. You notice both? Alhamdulillah. So may Allah reward the advisors, al-nasiheen amongst you, those who give proper advice. May Allah reward you. This is the last verse, and this is the main moral of the story. Wallahu a'lam. The last ayah, ayah 109, chapter 10. Allah says, وَاتَّبِعْ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ Follow what is revealed to you. وَاصْبِرْ حَتَّى يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ And be patient until Allah judges in your situation. وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ Allah says, you're not allowed to lose hope. You're not allowed to justify losing your patience. وَاصْبِرْ You know what I'm going through? This ayah is for you and I. Don't lose your patience. And we explained patience in the last session. Remember, patience is to never give up hope on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and does not give up on Allah's mission. You continue. You never complain about Allah, and you never use your body in haram. So be patient. Don't ever lose your patience. وَاصْبِرْ حَتَّى يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ until Allah judges your situation. I've been looking for jobs all my life. I'm not finding one. I got an offer. Haram company. أخي, وَاصْبِرْ حَتَّى يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ wait and Allah changes the situation. I really want to get married. I've been rejected all my life. Please, I want to get married. It's not working. I'm going to go fulfill my desires elsewhere. وَاصْبِرْ حَتَّى يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ be patient until Allah judges in situation. You never know what happens. And I may share with you the ticket I got. I've shared with you a bad story. I'll share with you a good story, inshallah. When I went to one of my first jobs at Chrysler Auburn Hills, I really tried to apply for many jobs. And I shared with you the half of the story, but not the rest last time in the story of Musa. When I went there, I applied for over 200 jobs, true story. And my wife knows what we had to go through. 200 plus jobs. Never did I get an opportunity except one or two general ones to do with haram type of jobs. It just came to me. You know when you put your resume on monster.com and things like that? They reached out to you. It looked interesting, but there's no way it's against my deen. I tried and I tried and I tried until there's a position at Chrysler that required 3 to 5 years experience. How many years of experience do I have? 9 months. I made it clear in the resume, حَتَّى يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ I'm not going to fake it. I'm not going to put my reference, Dr. Ahmed, and Ahmed's my colleague at work, yeah, or school, yeah. Because you know what happens. No, we cannot do that. So then I go apply for the job, and I got an interview, alhamdulillah, very happy. So when I go to the interview, right before it, I was sitting in the lobby. It's a very nice lobby. It's one of the largest buildings in the country, by the way, the one in Auburn Hills. So I sat in the lobby, and I was working on a halaqa, a lecture. You almost got me in trouble, guys. Okay, let's move on. So the lecture I was working on was Ad-Din al-Nasiha. It's a hadith about advice, or religion is all about giving advice in general. So I was working on it because I have a lecture on Thursday. So then she called me, Majid Mahmoud. So I'm like, I come, like, get ready, got my folder, whatever. So I go through the interview, and they start asking me questions. What do you know about cars? What have you worked on? I only have 9 months, barely internship positions. So I tried to be funny, yes, from that day. I said, the thing I know about cars is a nice car wash. Ha, 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 ha. Alhamdulillah, it moved. Alhamdulillah, they didn't ask more questions. It worked, wallahi. Anyhow, so then, okay, whatever. And then what have you done? This, this, and that. What have you concentrated in your fourth year? Fourth year, I did automotive engineering. Okay, fantastic. Then she said, can I ask you a question before we leave? Yeah, yeah, sure, sure. What were you doing in the lobby? I'm like, subhanallah. I didn't say subhanallah. I'm just thinking, and she said, what in the lobby? Like, ask me questions about engineering. My GPA, what kind of car I'm driving, what do you have to do with me lobby? She's like, I saw you, you're very focused, like you're actually like really like into what you're doing. So what were you doing? What is that? So I said that was just, I was working on a lecture. She's like, oh, what's the topic? Allah, I was so nervous. But I was telling myself, like, I start my job with a lie. So I started the job with a lie. The first, after 200 plus jobs, this is the only, yani, I don't know if I'll ever get another one. And this is it. I even, subhanAllah, expecting a child. So I said, I was working in a lecture about, you know, giving advice. Tell me more. I'm like, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Okay, how about you come Thursday at 7 p.m., Fadr al Masjid, right? So I said, you know, it's a lecture. Where is it delivered at? More questions. I said, you know, at the Islamic Center, it was in Windsor, Ontario, not too far from us. She's like, oh, so you teach? No, not anymore. Nah, if I get this job, I'll engineer for life. She's like, oh, okay. Then we walked away. And out my heart, I said, it's impossible. This was at the recession time, right after, in the early 2000s. So I left the same day I got a phone call. What's the phone call? Congratulations, Mr. Mahmoud. Yes. This was a contract house. It was not a direct position. Anyhow. You got the job. Just an FYI, I want to share this, subhanAllah. I told them, what's the salary? They said it was about, kam kanat? 62,000. It's okay, I'll share with you, 62, okay? So I said, is there a way we can, like, you know, push this further? Yeah, miskeen, I don't even have money, khalas. And if they said 30, 30 is good, alhamdulillah. But I learned, anything they tell you, like, there's a little bit more. She's like, sorry, this is non-negotiable. I said, okay, non-negotiable, khalas, I'm sorry. But apparently it's a messed up stuff. But anyway, let's move on. As you can tell, I'm still hurt. Anyhow, let's move on. Okay? So after a year, 2 years, the whole story is this. She came, but it was a different L. I'll never forget it. She came this way, I came this way. I can't see, she's coming. So she came, and I came, then we met here. Then she said, oh, Majid. I'm like, yes, Miss Kim. She said, do you know why I hired you? I'm like, what? She says, what? What kind of question is weird, huh? Do you know why? I'm like, I hope you're not like regretting it or something, right? So then she said, you know why I hired you? I said, why? She said, because in the interview, I asked you, what were you doing in the lobby? And you told me something which may be taken against you. And I felt that you said exactly what you were doing about your religion and faith. And that was the reason I actually hired you. Allahu Akbar. And I was not getting hired whatsoever. They think, I thought I was smart. Car wash, remember that? They probably know that down. He's trying to run away from the answer. Slick, mashallah, you know, it's, I'm gifted. What am I gifted? What is he? All right, nothing. So they're noting the guy doesn't know anything. 9 months, they want 3 to 5 years. She said, you answering that question is actually what made us hire you. And subhanAllah, the thing that we thought would ruin us was the thing that actually saved us. Right? So with this being said, wasbir, hatta yahkum Allah. Be patient until Allah judges in situation. وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَكِيمِينَ He's the best judge. He will take care of you. May Allah bless you. May Allah grant you Jannah. May Allah lift every hardship and distress from you. May Allah bless us with the dua of Yunus alayhi salam. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. آمين. وجزاكم الله خيرا. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.